Welcome to Where to Ski with me, your host, John Morgan. Today we head to Sun Valley, Idaho. Grab your skis, let's get ready for an adventure and dive into the world of skiing. My guest today guides at Sun Valley and knows the mountain, the town, and the surrounding area better than most. Zach Christ has been skiing and living in the mountains of Idaho almost his entire life. At 18, he was named to the U.S. ski team, competed on the Alpine World Cup for 7 seasons, later became one of the pioneers of ski cross, winning X Games gold, silver, and bronze medals. Now he looks for adventure, including first ascents in the Himalayas, New Zealand, Greenland, Alaska, and at home in Idaho. In 2018, Zach became the owner and operator of Sun Valley Guides. Zach knows the mountain and the area very, very well. If you're from the western U.S. and ski, you've heard of Sun Valley, since its founding by Averill Harriman in 1936 as a tourist destination for the Union Pacific Railroad, became the first real destination resort in the U.S. and attracted Hollywood icons galore. Now, it has a long history of providing some of the best, most consistent skiing in North America. So, Zach, welcome to Where to Ski. Let's talk about Sun Valley.
Right on.
It's been a minute since I've skied there. The ski area wasn't as developed as it is now, and it was a lot of fun. It was Sun Valley and Ketchum are awesome places, and it's crazy and very ski focused. Has that changed at all?
No, I don't think it has. I feel like it's definitely a unique ski resort amongst the many that I've been to over the span of my skiing life. I would say it's an anomaly in the sense that it's privately owned, and they continue to make these really incredible improvements fairly regularly. It's just very frequent upgrades on infrastructure around here, and I guess at the end of the day, it's less corporate in that sense. Although some people might disagree with my, maybe it's managed more corporately than ever, but it's incredible to see like the quality of the improvements that they're making. I can't imagine there's a return on that investment. This is probably more a measure of depreciation, but we sure do enjoy the benefits of that as local residents.
Being locally owned and owned by a family rather than a larger corporation makes a big difference. Gives a different feel.
It does. Yeah. I mean, we're super fortunate.
So you grew up, I think, in California. Is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you grew up in California and you moved to Idaho fairly young.
Yeah, I moved to Idaho when I was 6 years old in 1979. So that puts me at 50. And I've spent, really the bulk of my time since I was 6 here in Sun Valley. So I know it well.
And you stayed there to be able to raise a family. What is it about Sun Valley and the area that made you stay and raise your family there?
A lot of things, I guess. Starting with just sort of the layout of the place, I think is fairly unique in that the ski area is the centerpiece of the community. So you have, Ketchum, Sun Valley, Haley and Bellevue as you go south, but it's all really very focused around these public lands resources, Bald Mountain being sort of the primary one of it all.
Well, let's go there for a minute. Give us a layout of how Sun Valley, both Dollar Mountain and Warm Springs, and what to expect when you get there. It's different than most areas. You're not driving through a valley to get there. You're out in the plains, and then you get to Sun Valley, and it's there.
Yeah, so we're right on the edge of the Snake River Plain, right? So you go from sort of this agricultural setting in the southern part of Idaho, and very quickly the mountains, we're part of the Rocky Mountain chain, but there's 5 sub ranges here that are really spectacular. There's the Pioneers, Boulder White Clouds on the eastern flank, and then to the west, the Bigwood River, you have the Smoky Mountains, and then further north, the Sawtooth Mountains. So they're all very unique and spectacular, each one of them. So it's an incredible public lands resource. I think there's some striking statistics that come to mind. Idaho has, I think, 10 million acres of what we call de facto wilderness, which is roadless territory. And whether it's designated wilderness or not, it appears as such. So that is, I think by the numbers, it's doubled out of the next largest state in the lower 48. So you think of Wyoming and Montana and even California as having these great big wide open spaces, but a lot of it's private. And so with that, you lose access. And I think that's what's remarkable about this particular part of Idaho, even, is that we're at this gateway to this incredible public lands resource. So sure, Bald Mountain is this really amazing ski resort and with all this wonderful infrastructure, but what's beyond that is, I think, really what interests me the most.
And so you take your, as a guide, you take people out into those areas pretty regularly, way past Sun Valley.
Yeah, so I'm the owner of Sun Valley Guides, which is it's based in Ketchum, and we have a very large permit area that covers what might be around 1 million acres. So we're fortunate with an abundance of public lands. I think what you see is a generous allotment of permit area for the local outfitters. When it comes to backcountry skiing, we are really just one of two, or I should say three, if you want to include Sun Valley Heli-Ski in the region. So there's Sawtooth Mountain Guides, which is based in Stanley. We have a small amount of overlap with them, but a very cordial relationship. And it's just really a fortunate situation where there's, probably shouldn't say this publicly, but we don't have a crowd problem. But it just seems to be kind of an endless resource in terms of places to go to find good fresh snow.
Well, not having a crowd problem is a good problem because there's some places when you get to, say, Summit County that have crowd problems.
No, I've seen a bit of that in the last 10 years, and it's a striking difference. But I think, Sun Valley is, because it's surrounded by public lands, it's a bit of an island. And so there's only so many people that can fit in this valley. There's only so many beds. And so I think it's probably possible, really, to get to a place where it's getting more crowded for sure. The pandemic sent us into hyperdrive, but it seems there's plenty of room to go and explore and get away from the sheeple.
Now, when you take people out into a backcountry trip, do you do the overnights? Do you do day trips? How does that usually work out? And what kind of level of skier do you take out there?
We do both day trips and overnights. I'd say the signature experience is an overnight hut trip. We have a really incredible, seven backcountry huts that we use on the regular, and they're just beautiful locations and a nice layout. So in some places you can go from hut to hut if you got to book way in advance to be able to do that, but it seems you've got to book way in advance anyhow to get access to any of these huts anymore. So we're blessed with that kind of resource. But yeah, the overnight huts are really special, and the day trips are they're great too. We have a lot of different options from our northern edge of our permit area is about 70 or 80 miles from the southern end. So it's a vast area that we work in.
And is a lot of that either climbing or do you use helicopters or cats or anything like that?
We use snowmobile transport to move gear and people throughout the hut system. We'll occasionally use the snowmobiles to access more remote terrain that's off of the highway corridor. So you can imagine that Highway 75 is running south to north, and as you go north, you kind of get deeper into the more remote terrain. But there are really no roads either east or west off of that highway during the wintertime because nothing's plowed. And so that's kind of our secret sauce, is to be able to take people further about and get them into more remote locations where you just don't see other people.
That sounds like fun. Let's go back to the ski area. Let's start off with where an expert would go on a day of skiing. Where would you start? If you were taking someone on the mountain and you had some really hot skiers, where would you start off the day and how would the day progress? And I know on the snow and the sun.
Baldy's unique in the sense that it's like a big cone-shaped mountain. You have good fall line skiing on all sides, and I think that's quite rare, especially if you're used to skiing in Colorado, where you have a lot of flat terrain sort of fanning out from the bottom of maybe some steeper terrain up above. And then if you think about a place like Palisades, you have very high quality steep terrain in some places, but it's benchy, and you've kind of got to commute from one spot to another to get to the goods. Whereas Sun Valley, it's really just like get off the lift and it's just really good fall line skiing in any direction. So with that, I tend to just chase light and aspects so that you're skiing, according to good quality light and good quality snow. And that's a lot to do with sun and wind and temperature.
As it does in a lot of places. That's very true. Now, does it help for someone going there if they're a good skier to get a guide to lead them around the mountain for the first day or two?
Yeah, Sun Valley Ski School's got a great program. I work for sort of a subsect of that, which is called the Legends Program. Sun Valley is unique in that they're really, we don't have a side country guide service, but what we do have is a great ski school. So it's, I think, one of the oldest ski schools in America, if not the oldest. It was very much a product of, the history is amazing, so I'll digress for a moment, in that when during World War II, or the sort of the beginnings of World War II, when the Nazis invaded Austria, they essentially disbanded the world's first ski school, which was Hanna Schneider's cast of greats. And those guys were all prodigal skiers who were essentially sent on the run. If they weren't Nazi, their land was seized and they were threatened with jail time. And so these guys all split, and it just so happens serendipitously that Sun Valley Resort was opening that next year. So there were, I think, eight original ski instructors in Sun Valley were all essentially offshoots from the Arlberg Ski School of Hanna Schneider from St. Anton. So it has wonderful roots, and it's an incredible story most people don't know about. So those guys came here, and this was, of course, before the chairlift had existed. And I think at that time, maybe there were some surface lifts in Europe. And so most of the skiing that was going on in America at that time was all essentially backcountry skiing. So the Sun Valley Resort was essentially, it was owned by Union Pacific Railroad. So as you can imagine, it was essentially a reinvention of what was an east-west supply line for the gold rush, was trying to remake itself into a passenger business, primarily from Los Angeles. So I think, as I recall, you could leave LAX at 6:30 p.m. and arrive in Sun Valley probably after an outrageous overnight party on the train, at 9 or 10 a.m. You'd step off the train in this absolutely, unusual winter environment. I think, in large part, that the winter recreation was novel at that time, and Sun Valley had sort of introduced that to an American public that hadn't seen it before. So with these eight prodigal skiers from Austria, and they, tromp up the hill and on wooden planks and with leather boots and wool sweaters, and slide back down and best they could. So it's a wonderful history, and I think a lot of that is still, recaptured with the current ski school here, and they never lose sight of their roots, which is cool.
I love the history. I love the history. I grew up in Vermont, and we have our own history up there in terms of the same type of thing. A lot of people, a lot of Austrians coming over and joining the ski schools there about that same time frame.
Yeah, with the mass exodus of, what were really adventurous pioneers of ski mountaineers, essentially. And that's to the foundation of American skiing.
Is there any out of bounds skiing right on the mountain? I've seen some spots over off Seattle Ridge, something like that, or is it pretty solid that you don't want to go over in there and take a guide and maybe find some spots?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. So, like I said, there's no side country guiding on this mountain like you would see in Jackson Hole or other resorts. It's been a bit of, I think the reason for that is, number one, it's probably liability. If you're the holding family, you probably don't want to, mess with that sort of thing. And that there's more to lose than to gain. The other part of it is that there's a strong undercurrent of local culture that really would rather not commercialize the back country, or the side country, I should say, off of Bald Mountain. So there's a, that being said, it's an incredible resource. We had a fire that came through here in 2000, was that a bit? I guess 2007 was when that burned. That really opened up the backcountry in ways that made it much more user friendly, that you could kind of, A, you could ski with pace through what was otherwise a conifer forest that's hard to kind of weave through. So there's incredible side country skiing here, but with that, the avalanche hazard is real, and it's not just that you might trigger an avalanche, it's that you might trigger one on top of someone else, and this has happened. And there's a lot of trees, people have gotten, pounded off of trees, and there haven't been any fatalities recently, but boy, there's been some real near misses.
When it really dumps, I assume Sun Valley, the mountain, is really good at avi mitigation and keeping people off the mountain until they clear it.
Yeah, for sure. They're fairly conservative, right? So I think, if you went to Jackson Hole, there's the terrain is on the resort is much more threatening. And I think, you might say that their control work is definitely more technical. So that being said, the roots here have been covered for so many years that they're very good at it. And it's we've had a good run of luck with not having had, any mishaps inbounds. There've been a few, but mostly it's certainly not, no mistake on behalf of the ski patrol. It's a really good, highly experienced staff.
Now that we've scared people to death, what about intermediate beginner skiers? What's it like there? Sun Valley's
By the
got a
way, that's
reputation
my
for being.
application to like chase people off of the side country, right? As someone who is somewhat commercializing our backcountry, although as I say, you can't have a job in Ketchum that's not associated with public lands, because that's really the whole reason people are here. So even if you're like a cabinet maker, you are indeed benefiting from the public lands resource we have. So it's, people love to sort of point fingers at, oh, you're commercializing our backcountry, and it's like, yeah, you could say that, but there isn't a job in Ketchum, Idaho, or Sun Valley, Idaho, that isn't related to that somehow.
I would
But yeah,
think you're more a steward than of the backcountry than commercializing
absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, we play by the rules, and partly that's a moral obligation, but it's also just, we rely on permits that are issued by the federal government. Like last time I checked, you don't want to mess around with feds. So we're very careful, and we also are really careful about trying to bring people in. You can imagine with the pandemic, like there's this onrush of people onto public lands, and it has these land managers backpedaling, trying to deal with it all. And we look at ourselves as being, in many ways, their boots on the ground, their security force to be able to. Certainly, we have a very intimate touch point with our own customers, but even if we are out there at a trailhead and, helping people use best practice, they may not even be part of our group, but it's a, hey, did you know it works better when you park like this at this trailhead so there's room for others, or you're not there's no degradation to the environment because you're parking out in the weeds, or, bothering the wildlife, or so we do our part to try and run a tight show and set the pace and be good stewards of the land, and also to take care of the land. It's like I'm nearly born and raised here, so I care an awful lot about it.
As you should, as you should. Let's go back to the mountain for a minute. Sun Valley doesn't have a reputation as being an easy mountain. How is it for intermediates and beginners?
There's always a place for intermediates and beginners here, and I think that's been somewhat of a focus for the resort to try and expand upon that. There's not an abundance of flat terrain here, per se, but there is flat terrain and great places to go and learn. But so there's something for everyone. It's just, I think, there might be more flat terrain in most other places, but it's good to have it all.
Okay, so what's the best month to head up to Sun Valley for skiing?
We're high mountain desert climate, right? So we have long intervals between storm cycles at times. Last year it seemed to just be snowing the entire season. We had a break somewhere in January for 3 or 4 weeks, but outside of that, it was snowing all the time. So I tend to think of it as, so getting good fresh snow, it could happen at any point during the winter between Thanksgiving and April, So it's sort of luck of the draw in that regard. But I think it's wonderful to be here in February and March when the sun's a little bit higher in the sky. There's still plenty of shade on northern aspects where you can find good cold snow. And if you're lucky enough, you might find good corn snow on southern aspects. So it's nice to, so December can be a little dark. We're far enough north. So, with that, you might find powder on south. So I tend to think like better après in March, put it that way.
Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. Best place to eat on the mountain.
I like the Roundhouse. Yeah, I mean it's a classic. It's just it's one of the original ski lodges in America. So it still holds that original charm. You go into that building and you really feel like you've stepped back in time. And then, they've just done a wonderful job of making the experience special. It's excellent food and the ambiance is this sort of Tyrolean influence, and it's got a gorgeous views. It's mid mountain, so it's a wonderful spot. Yeah, that's it. You'd be
Okay.
hard pressed to find another ski lodge in the world that is better than that.
At least in the US, it's
For
US
sure,
is.
I mean, there's great examples in Europe for sure, but that's where it takes its inspiration, right? So,
Well, when you
yeah.
said Tyrolean-esque, I was like, oh, I know exactly where you're going. Places to stay. Sun Valley Lodge is, everyone knows about that place. It's been
Sure.
famous for years. The stars all stayed there, but there's got to be other places past that that work for now because Ketchum's very close and they've got some good spots.
Without a doubt, yeah, the Limelight Hotel is, I think, one of my favorites in town. It's more, the lodge is a classic. It's just been updated recently, and it tells a wonderful story of the Sun Valley's history. The Limelight can't do that because it's new, but it's a great experience. It's right in town. You're walking distance to everything. It just seems like a quality staff. They're steeped in the hospitality business, and it's an Aspen brand, as you know. But they do a great job. The Nob Hill Inn is a classic. It's also European inspired. I like their vibe. It's a wonderful restaurant at the Nob Hill Inn. And what are some of my other favorites? Panay's is a classic. Little bed and breakfast down in River Run. Alan Panay is a pianist who's just a wonderful man from Australia who's like he's a total legend. You might find him on the patio at après with a big fur coat on and enjoying the atmosphere and adding to the atmosphere.
So there's a pretty good opera scene in Ketchum, primarily. I have experienced that. It probably hasn't changed, and there's probably a lot of other things. Like I'm sure it's grown up. I'm sure there's boutiques and other things too. There's a lot in Ketchum.
Yeah, no doubt. Ketchum's a cool little town. It's like because everything's fairly tightly knit. You're kind of you can walk around town by foot and not have to get in your car and drive too much. So it's a great spot. There's some incredible restaurants. There's really good food around here. So the culinary experience is just certainly worth talking about. I guess some of my favorite restaurants would be the Cookbook is really nice. I would say Enoteca is another favorite. The Pioneer is a classic, of course. It's kind of the old school Sun Valley. Maybe they're more for the wall art than the food, but it's also solid food and excellent cocktails. So what are some of my other favorites? To be honest, like some of the dining experiences out at the lodge, although I don't tend to go there very often because they're sort of populated by tourists and busy is during the high season. If you catch them on the shoulder seasons before they close on the low season, they're also really great. The Ram Bar is a classic. The Ram Restaurant,
Still
even
there.
the Duchen Room is a classic, and Gretchen's there at the lodge. Seems to be like Sun Valley Resort has really stepped up the game on their culinary.
Let's talk a little bit different direction right now. What's your philosophy on skiing and guiding and instructing people? Because you're always, as a guide, you're always instructing.
Yeah, it's interesting. But you're right. It is so much of being a good guide is being a good skier and being able to translate that to your guests to be able to help them navigate what might be variable snow conditions. So And even if it's not, even if it's perfect snow conditions, there's, having good technique just allows you to enjoy the day, more than you otherwise would. So it's definitely, I'm one of the very few people that crosses over from the Sun Valley Ski School to the backcountry as a guide. I haven't done much heli ski guiding in the last few years just because Sun Valley Guides keeps me busy along with Smiler Creek Lodge. It's a nice crossover, and I feel like it allows me to see skiing from different points of view, and which is kind of the story of my whole career as a skier, from being a ski racer to then a big mountain skier and getting involved in ski cross and the X Games. And I feel like I've been through a fairly decent cross section of the sport, and it's helped me translate that for guests to be able. Is there are many ways to skin the cat, as I say, right? There's not like one way to ski, but I think the best way to ski is to adapt your technique to the conditions that are present.
I was doing a podcast the other day with someone who came up with an expression. She said, "It's not just about sliding down the hill. It's about the whole experience." And I
Oh,
thought that was, and there's a lot of that in there, I think, behind the scenes with you, because you've gone back to the Tyrolean experience about some of the other experiences you pick up in Sun Valley.
yeah, I mean, you can go and do a Vallée Blanche off the Aiguille du Midi, and it could be a one run day and be just like the best day of your life. So it's, I think of that as being, many of the European ski experiences aren't so much about the skiing as much as they are just about taking in the local culture and the scenery and the history. It's an incredible place to go skiing. And I think for, being as young a country as we are, it, you know, some the we don't have that same sort of history, but if anyone has it, Sun Valley has it. So it's great to be able to like create some waypoints along the way that kind of tell that story.
What's your own favorite day when you don't have guests? Those rare days you don't have guests and you get to go off on your own and go skiing. No guests, no kids, and you just get to go play. What's your favorite day? What would that look like?
Nowadays, I love the backcountry, but I mean, there's never a bad day on Bald Mountain, right? The resort is amazing here. There's a couple of new lifts this year, which I'm excited about. There's two six packs going in over on Warm Springs, and there's slightly different layout, which should be, provide access to some great terrain. There's a new run that's looking like the one of the steeper runs on the mountain, and just nice to see them expanding in all directions here. So I would say, nothing beats a good day on Baldy. But for me, I think my primary interest at this time in my life is just to be out in the backcountry, and that usually involves some snowmobile transportation to add a little spice to the day, a little fun, and then go for a nice long hike and enjoy some great turns in a remote area. You might end up seeing some wildlife and hit the highway in time to get back to town for some good food and drink.
That sounds like a fabulous day. I like the wildlife part. How can our listeners find you? What's the best way to get a hold of you? And maybe where would they find you on the mountain if you're somewhere out there? Finding in the backcountry is impossible.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. I would say, of course, Sun Valley Guides, info@sbguides.com is a great way to inquire about some of our backcountry experiences. The Smiley Creek Lodge has some wonderful snowmobile day trips, and the overnight experience there is lovely. We've just put in seven new tiny homes up there, and it's a really neat remote location to go and spend some time. Another thing worth talking about is just the dark sky preserve we have here is really, I think it's a first of its kind, and it is remarkable how the night sky around here just has little to no light pollution, and it is extraordinary. So that those are things I think worth mentioning. But and then Sun Valley Resort is the ski school there is, I think, it's a great asset. There's a Legends program which I'm part of. There's some of you may recall Kent Kreitler from back in the day as a big mountain pioneer. My brother Reggie, Maria Marisich, a former ski racer. Oh, the late great Jeremy Novus was with us until recently. And yeah, it's a great crew of I guess legend skiers, as they say, and then the rest of the school is great as well. So,
I wouldn't want to get mixed up with that crowd if you took off and started just tearing it up. I wouldn't keep up anymore. Zach, thank you so much for taking time to talk to about Sun Valley. You
you
might see
bet.
Zach. You might see Zach almost anywhere, either on the mountain or in the backcountry. You'll never find him in the backcountry. He's all out of touch there. Again, if you want to contact him, Sun Valley Guides is the right place to reach out. If you like our podcasts, please share them and listen to perspectives on other areas like St. Anton, Palisades, Jackson Hole, Sugarbush, Portillo, the Dolomites, and others. Thanks for joining. And thank you, Grits Band, for the intro music.
We feel it, so round and round we go. We feel it, she feel it, we feel it. Here we go.